This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. Among communities that saw unprecedented flooding from ex-typhoon Halong, Tunta Tuliak evacuated dozens of residents and welcomed in dozens from nearby coastal villages hit hardest by the storm. Just as the community is beginning to dry out and rebuild, colder weather has arrived. Here's a report from Tunta Tuliak. 10 days after ex-typhoon Halong, the lake-filled tundra surrounding Tunta Tuliak is dusted with the first snow of the year. The community's raised boardwalks, not including those that floated away in the storm, are buzzing with activity as people do what they can to prepare for winter.
Watch your fingers, there's a nail there.
At a shallow lake in the center of town, Alaska National Guard members work with residents to clear a massive pile of debris. Oil barrels, smashed up building materials, tires, stacks of logs, appliances, a 30-foot section of boardwalk with a snow machine marooned at one end. All of it has been pushed into one corner of the lake, opposite the winds that tore through Tunta Tuliak and raised water levels higher than anyone in the community can ever remember. The smaller boardwalks that branch off of the main drag all have a story to tell. Down one, the home of a disabled man who swam to safety and was pulled from the water by his own crutches. Down another, three metal stairs still stand 100 feet from their home.
This white house right here?
It was over there by that, next to that greenhouse.
Village Public Safety Officer Jesse Wassily walks through the hardest hit part of town, a low-lying area along the banks of the Ganuk River, known as downtown. 10 days earlier, Wassily and Village Police Officer Sally Andrew risked their lives to help dozens reach safety at the Louis Ongapak Memorial School as homes quickly filled with feet of water.
Sally called me, and that's when we started evacuating. The tide was coming in quick.
The ones with medical problem and elders, we got to them first.
Yeah.
At the school, Principal Tamika Galvin says it was hard to watch the rescue unfold.
Every time he went out, I just went into prayer mode because it was so scary. It was pitch black outside.
Galvin says winds pounded the front entrance of the school, sealing the main doors from the outside when she attempted to force them open.
It felt like 2,800-pound men were pushing back at me.
She channeled evacuees to the back door of the school. Galvin says she helped roughly 70 people who arrived soaking wet and scared. The school is still the relief center for the community, with piles of clothes and stacks of aid boxes ready to be picked up. Classes are back in session, and there are some new students, 9 evacuees from Quigilingok who have come with family members to spend the winter. In Tunta Tuliak, numerous houses are unlivable, and 26 people have evacuated. Somehow, no injuries have been reported. Elder Henry Loopy has put up his younger brother Adolf and his family for the winter after their house was pushed around 10 feet by floodwaters. He says levity is vital.
Even if it's very sad thing, we're being positive and still joking with each other.
His brother Adolf is more comfortable speaking in his native Yuktun. Even though I'm staying at my older brother's house, I get homesick wanting to go down there. I'm thankful for my older brother, he says. Adolf has lived in the house down by the river for more than 50 years. He says he can't imagine leaving Tunta Tuliak. I didn't evacuate, picturing where I'd be. I would panic if I couldn't breathe. I have anxiety when I'm in a crowd. I imagine that, he says. Progress for the community has come in doses. Some freezers full of subsistence foods that were submerged have since hummed back to life. Adolf's daughter completely disassembled the family's Toyo stove heater, cleaned it piece by piece, and got it going. Now the severely warped home can at least be dried out. Adolf, his wife, and 2 daughters don't know if their home will ever be livable. Many in Tunta Tuliak are in the same boat.
You are be ready for the winter and feed somebody who's starving.
Speaking over a bowl of salmon strips set out on the kitchen table, Adolf says he's mostly thinking of others.
Thanks for coming.
Fairbanks North Star Borough officials are searching for places that could offer more stable housing for Typhoon Halong evacuees. More than 1,000 people from Western Alaska communities were displaced because of the flooding and damage from the storm's hurricane-force winds. Hundreds were evacuated to Anchorage, where many are staying at mass shelters while agencies work to transition them to more private locations. Borough Mayor Greer Hopkins says the borough's Emergency Operations Department is participating in the state-established housing task force. He said as of Thursday, he only knew of a few families who'd evacuated to Fairbanks and that they had personal support systems in the area. But he wants the borough to be ready to help connect people impacted by the storm with medium to long-term housing in the interior if they come. He says his office is compiling a list of local options.
Right now, you know, the list is fairly short as we're trying to understand what capacity there is out there, what hotels have space, but the need has not arisen yet that anybody is coming to Fairbanks in droves.
Hopkins also says borough staff had conversations about opening a mass shelter earlier in the month when damage in Western Alaska was becoming apparent. He says he focused primarily on Joy Community Center, a former elementary school.
My discussions were, let's make sure Joy Community Center is available. It's got showers. It's got bathrooms. It's got, you know, smaller rooms for classrooms as opposed to just one mass shelter room.
The borough assembly voted to close Joy Community Center earlier this year as a cost-saving measure. Hopkins says preparing it would have involved some work up front, like getting bathrooms running again, but that the borough ultimately wasn't called on to provide a mass shelter. Alaska Airlines is dropping its popular policy that allowed travelers flying within the state of Alaska to check 3 bags for free. The change will primarily impact non-Alaska residents. According to Alaska Airlines, the 3-bag perk will live on through its exclusive Club 49 program. Members of Alaska Airlines' rebranded loyalty program, Atmos Rewards, with valid Alaska mailing addresses can apply on the Club 49 website. Club 49 members will still receive 2 free checked bags for flights to and from Alaska under the new policy. Non-Alaska residents with Atmos Rewards, credit cards, or elite status may still be eligible for free checked luggage. Under the new policy, non-Club 49 members or travelers without elite status will pay at least $230 to check 3 bags for travel within Alaska, which was free under the former policy. The changes begin with flights booked on or after October 14th and departing on or after January 2nd. This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Kwiana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yilkutun Gunumchit coming up.